Well, this morning we're observing what is known as Palm Sunday, and we're finishing up a six-week Lenten message series that's based on the Sermon on the Mount, collections of teachings that Jesus used to guide his followers and us as his followers. In the first week, we looked at the Beatitudes, where Jesus talked about how we're blessed when we work for things like peace and justice, and while we're blessed even when we're persecuted by others for doing God's work. In the second week, we looked at where Jesus told his disciples that they were salt and light to the world. Even as imperfect as they were doing God's work in the world. In the third week, our focus was on the word no, of saying no to the temptations that threaten to sidetrack us and do great damage to our souls. And then in the fourth week, we looked at what Jesus said about being rich and how it's foolish to store up things here on earth and be so preoccupied and worried about worldly possessions. And then last week, we looked at what Jesus had to say about our attitudes towards other people and the danger of jumping to judgment. Now, on this Palm Sunday, we're going to be looking at a passage out of the seventh chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 7 through 12. And this morning, I'll be reading from the New International Version, where Jesus says this, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Let's pray. Lord, we ask for you to speak to us through this, your word. Help us to hear through the whispers of your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. My guess is that many, if not most of you, know the story of Palm Sunday, where Jesus comes into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, as was prophesied by the Old Testament prophet Zechariah. There are, of course, throngs of people who are lining the streets, laying down cloaks and palm branches in front of Jesus, and they shouted, "Hosanna," which means, "God save us." People knew of his miracles and how he had healed the sick, and people knew of his great teachings and his great wisdom. And so they came out for the parade, hopeful of who he was and what he might do. Now, if that were to happen today, I'm sure the media would be all over this event, asking all sorts of probing questions. There would be interviews with men and women who lined the street. "Why have you come to the parade today? Why are you cheering Jesus? Who do you think this Jesus guy really is?" And as many of you know, many of the very same people who cheered Jesus on that Sunday were among the crowd that chanted, "Crucify him," as he stood on trial just a few days later, which tells us a lot about just how fickle humankind can be sometimes. I'm sure there would be all sorts of different answers to these questions, but I think the most common response would be, "He's coming to take everything that's wrong and make it right." But then on Friday, they would say, "Well, he didn't do what we expected. So crucify him. Hang him on the cross." Sounds like how we treat coaches and politicians sometimes. We cheer for them until they lose their first game. We vote for them, and then they make decisions that we don't like, and it's off with their heads. Well, in our scripture reading for today from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is really teaching us about prayer. He's telling us to come to God seeking, to come to God asking, to knock on God's door. He says, "Knock and the door will be open to you. Seek and you will find. Everyone who asks will receive." Receive what? What you ask for. What you hope for. But I really don't think that's the way it works. Some of you may remember the old Janis Joplin song, "Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends." Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? I wonder if she ever got one. I actually Googled it and found out she never did get a Mercedes-Benz, but she did get a 1965 Porsche. When Jesus delivered this line, these lines on that hill in northern Israel, I think what he had in mind was more about God always being there, door open, eager to hear from his beloved children, eager to hear their dreams and their aspirations, eager to hear their hopes and fears. I don't think the intention was to paint God as some kind of Santa Claus who brings us everything we hope for. But we can always ask, because God wants us to come to him in prayer with whatever is on our hearts and minds. God wants to hear from each of us, be it silly or serious. We don't have to worry about being politically correct or using all the right words or dress things up to make them look real pretty. God wants us to be real. Real. St. Paul writes this in Romans 8:28. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. We don't even have to put it into words for God to hear our hearts. Now, without a doubt, the closest we'll ever come to in understanding God's love for us is the love that we have for our children. And in this passage, Jesus makes that connection. Jesus said, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? In other words, most human parents want to give our kids good things. We want to provide for them, and we want to protect them, and we would never give them anything that could possibly do them harm. And Jesus is saying that is the same way that God looks at you. He says, if you then, though you are imperfect, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Asking is the operative word here. God wants you to ask, even if it is for a Mercedes-Benz, but please understand this is not a quid quo pro. God's desire is for us to be connected through prayer, and God wants us to know, God wants to know our worries and our wants, just as we want to hear the desires and what's going on with our children. Jesus is saying to us, trust God. If we only want what's best for our children, how much more does God want the very best for you? God dearly loves each one of us, every single human being that he's ever lived and ever will live. And God wants what's best for all of his children. We may not always understand God's response or what seems like a lack of response. We don't always see God's hand at work in answering our prayers. Yet I believe that someday we will see that God's hand was with us all of the time. You know, growing up, I had a very close relationship with my dad. We talked a lot. We did a lot together. We fished and golfed and camped and canoed. And I don't ever remember him ever missing one of my sport events or one of my concerts that I was a part of. He was always there, and sometimes he'd even show up at practice and just watch from a distance. And I don't ever remember thinking or feeling that my dad wasn't in my corner cheering me on and very often challenging me to do my best. And we talked about just about everything under the sun. He always wanted to know what I was thinking and what I was struggling with. And he was a big believer in the Socratic method of learning, of asking questions to stimulate thinking, always trying to draw out my ideas. And he would challenge me challenge me to argue and defend my thoughts. And we had some pretty heated arguments, especially over dinner, about things like politics and sports. And you know, he loved every minute of it. And so did I. But I knew without a shadow of doubt that he loved me and would do anything in the world that was in my best interest. And in many ways, I think Jesus was saying that about how God works. that God's doors are always open, that God's ears and arms are always open, open to your questions, open to your doubts, open to your needs, open to your wants, that God wants to be connected with us personally and intimately. Now, some who read our text for today may think that this passage is really about persistence, that if we really want something bad enough that we should badger God long enough and God will eventually cave in and give us what we ask for. I know that strategy worked for my mom. I just said, please, 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 and she would, give in. My brother and sister knew that, but I knew it didn't work with my dad. He wanted to know. He wanted us to build a case and argue it with reason. And I don't think Jesus was teaching his disciples or us that prayer is about pestering God until we get what we want. Rather, it's about a continuing, ongoing relationship with the Almighty. In his book on the Sermon on the Mount, Scott McKnight asked this question. Does God change the course of human history because we pray or don't pray? Does persistence pay off? He writes, if we keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking with the idea that God will finally hear us, then we create a God who seems to be either tired or busy or disinterested. Jesus' teachings here are shaped to speak to that struggle in prayer. And it leads us to see that God is a Father who is altogether good, and therefore a God who will respond to his people when they pray. In other words, God listens, God hears, God cares, and yet we must trust that God will work towards good and God's ultimate purposes. That's the hard part, isn't it? Really trusting God in what might seem like unanswered prayer. Trusting that God is at work even when it seems that at times God isn't there. The writer of James says this, if you lack wisdom, you should pray to God who will give it to you, because God gives generously to all. But when you pray, believe and do not doubt at all. Whoever doubts is like a wave in the sea that is driven and blown about by the wind. So when we give our petitions to God, we need to remember what Jesus taught his disciples when he taught them to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a prayer that relinquishes our control and puts our petitions in the hands of our Heavenly Father. It's a hard prayer. It's a difficult prayer. But it's a prayer of trust in the goodness of God and God working in God's own way and God's own timing. There's a story that I read some time ago by Norman Vincent Peale. It's a story of a young man by the name of James McCormick. James had been stricken years ago with the terrible disease polio. This was before the advent of the Salk vaccine. And young James was totally paralyzed, totally helpless, and in great pain. He could not move, he could not swallow, he could not breathe. He had to stay in one of those iron lungs, and he wanted to die. He even prayed, Lord, I am so helpless that I can't even take my own life. Please take it for me. But God chose to ignore that prayer. Then he prayed, I can't die. If I can't die, please take away this awful pain. The doctors gave him drugs to ease the pain, but he was becoming dangerously dependent on them. So he prayed, Lord, please take away this craving for drugs. And gradually, the craving left him. Then he prayed, please let me swallow once again. Let them take the tube out of my throat and the needles out of my arm. I just want to drink a little water. I'll try not to ask for any more favors, God. He became able to swallow, but he wasn't able to stop asking God for favors. So he prayed, Lord, let me be able to breathe a little bit on my own. let me get out of this iron lung just for a little while. And this too came to pass. And after a while, he prayed again. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for all of your favors. Can I ask just one more? Let me be able to leave this bed just for an hour and get into a wheelchair and see the world that lies outside this hospital room. This request was granted as well. Then James asked to be given strength enough in his arms to move the wheelchair by himself. And after that, he asked for the ability and stamina to walk on crutches. And finally, after a 20-year struggle, James could walk with two canes. And he was able to marry and have children and lead a pretty close to normal life. James had his prayers answered, not according to his timetable, not exactly the way he would have chosen. But in retrospect, he has no doubt that God heard his prayers and answered. The message that Jesus was teaching his disciples on that hill and to us today is, keep on praying. Keep on trusting in God. Life can be cruel, but we have an ally. We have a friend. We have a Father who never forgets us or forsakes us. So don't hesitate to pound on heaven's door. Don't lose hope. Even if things don't turn out as you had hoped, God has not forgotten you. Someday you will see God's plan and will understand that God's plan was for your best. If even you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does God know how to give gifts to his children? That's the promise. God always keeps his promise. Let's pray. Lord, help us to trust you, even when we don't understand your ways. Help us to know that you are always with us, and you want us to seek after you, to ask for anything we desire, and to knock at your door. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your constant presence in our lives. And for the guidance of your Holy Spirit, we pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.